Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Back-to-back wins for the Chicago Blackhawks and wins in three out of their last four games. Seven goals for the second straight night as well as they continue to rock and roll on the power play and getting a lot of good things done here at home. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. And we've got Andreas Athanasiou fresh off this 7-2 win over the Anaheim Ducks. Andreas, I know it's been a rough long time for you. How fulfilling was tonight for you?
Yeah, definitely. Just a good feeling to get back on the ice with the boys and top it off with a win. It's cherry on top.
We're going to go upstairs and bring in Troy Murray. Troy, go ahead.
You've sat around and you've watched this team and you've watched it struggle sometimes to put offensive production on the boards. What have you seen from this group today and the last couple games that has been different from a little bit ago where they weren't finding any offense?
I think just getting the bounces a little bit, but I think we're all taking care of each other out there and trying to help each other out, and you can kind of see that leads to a lot of offense, and fortunate enough we're able to put those in the back of the net.
Do you feel as good as you look out there? I mean, you seem pretty smooth right from the get-go.
Yeah, it was a little bit, there was a lot going on there at the start. There was a lot of bodies out there, so it took a little bit of adjustment, but once I got into it, I felt pretty good.
I was laughing one shift here, and I think it was the third period. You got high-sticked around center ice, then you got tripped right by the goal crease. You kept looking around at the referee, and then you skated off for the line change there. I think you were signaling to the bench that you were coming off there, but I was saying that you had your arm in the air because you were calling the penalty.
Yeah, it was kind of a tweener there. I probably should stay a little more focused there, but yeah, obviously I was a little bit frustrated after taking that stick in the face, but yeah, you kind of just have to work through those, and we had a big lead there, so it was just kind of stay with it.
All that activity, all the high energy that was going on today, I mean, did that make things easier to just get this first game back under your belt?
Yeah, I tried not to think about it too much. Just I'm putting a lot of work here these last few months, so it's kind of just let the work go out there and play, and fortunate enough, it worked out for the team tonight.
I ran into you in the hallway as you're exiting the building from the morning skate there. The smile on your face when I said you in tonight, kind of said it all there. It's been a long time, as Joe was talking about there, but how pumped were you really to get back in and join the action?
Yeah, it was honestly just a really good feeling all around. It's been a tough road back, but I'm fortunate enough to be able to come back and play and feel good. So that's the main thing. But obviously it was a tough time for sure.
It is a little bit of a different looking roster since you had last played. I mean, have you noticed anything different about the team overall, though, getting back on the ice with them?
No, I think I'm pretty comfortable with all these guys, and everyone's comfortable playing with each other. So it's no matter who you're playing with or no matter who you're on the ice with, it's just go out there and do your job and help each other out.
Connor Bedard, a goal, 4 assists. You've been able to kind of sit and watch this young kid develop in his first season in the NHL. What is it about this kid that makes him so special?
I think he's just so dedicated, and he's got so much talent. So it's, those are two pieces that, you put together, and you get a really special player. And, he makes, special plays every night. And tonight was, unbelievable for him, for sure.
A lot of your teammates have said, regardless of the age difference, they've been able to pick things up from him. Have you been able to pick up anything from him?
Yeah, I mean, when you have someone who's that elite coming in and, puts that much time into the game and, has a good feel, you can pick up a lot of things. Obviously, it's, so natural and stuff. So it's, it's his first year and he's still, figuring out the NHL, but he's, he's doing unbelievable with it. And every day you can pick up something when he's out there and practice too. So it's just kind of, watch him out there and you get a chance out with them and try to find him.
Does he make the older players feel a little guilty that they're not staying out an hour after practice like he does?
No, I think everyone needs their rest. So it's a long season and it's grueling. So it's, these guys have been around for a while. Definitely, they've spent a lot of time on the ice. So whenever they can get a chance to, rest the body, it's definitely a huge thing.
I know you're looking really forward to being back in the swing of things and getting back into your rhythm and everything, but you went through some tough times, and you were saying that it was tough to kind of keep your mind, at ease with all the difficult holdbacks and setbacks you were dealing with. What helped you throughout that?
I think it was just kind of working through it. Honestly, I tried to keep my mind as it was a lot of pain, a lot of sleepless nights there at the start. So it's that builds a lot of anxiety when you go 2 months of not having a good night's sleep, and you come in and go to work, and you're sore the whole day. So it's it was tough like that, but when I was at the rink with the boys, it was easy to keep my mind off it. And just in the gym trying to get back, that was kind of my main focus, just sticking to the plan and just working my way through it, and try to keep my mind off it as much as possible, really.
What has the coaching staff done this season that has been impressive to you? I mean, it's been frustrating at time, but the positivity of you guys being around the room after practices and stuff seems like he's done an excellent job. And then here in the last little while, the energy itself has brought a lot of positivity. But what has the coaching staff really done to this team and meant to this team this year?
I think just keeping everyone at a level head. Obviously, there's tough times, but every day is a new day, and you got to put the past in the past and just get ready for the next day and next game. And I think we did a good job of that, and all year we've kind of stuck together, even through the tough times.
You're one of the few guys that was here last year, and I feel like at this point, like kind of final month of the season, you guys were really able to get on a roll and play some of your best hockey. Do you kind of keep that in the back of your mind about this? That last stretch coming up right now?
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. I mean, everyone, and you get a chance to play in the NHL, it's it's a tough thing to do, and it's a tough thing to stay in the league. So I mean, every night's a tryout pretty much, and you got to go out there and do your best to help the team. And no matter what part of the season it is or where we're at, it's just kind of go out there and play and work hard, and that's about it.
Troy, you got anything else?
No, sorry. I was sitting here, and then they just handed down the game sheets here, and it's all kind of messed up. They're trying to figure out what was going on there in that mayhem, and what were power plays and what were penalties. Crazy game there. What was going on in that third period that kind of started all that?
I had no idea. I was fuming from the shift before with the high stick and the trip, so I was. I was seeing red at that point. I didn't see what happened. Next thing you know, there was a line brawl in the corner. So I was.
We almost had a goalie fight, maybe.
Yeah, that's.
Were you guys on the bench, kind of maybe laughing or chuckling when you saw Gibson start head down there?
Obviously, you don't want to see anybody get hurt in those situations, but everyone's sticking up for each other, so we love that. And Raza got right in there, and is those things are a lot of fun too, as long as no one gets hurt.
Andreas, happy to see you. Welcome back. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
That is Andreas Athanasiou after a 7-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks. Troy, this was another fun one. I mean, back-to-back, seven goals in back-to-back games, and it's just, again, everybody pitching in, but you're really starting to see a surge from this offense now, which is a breath of fresh air for this team, because that had been probably the most frustrating thing, right? Like, everything was so stagnant on the power play and just having so much trouble finding goals, and now here they come aplenty, and it totally changes the vibe here lately.
Yeah, and I think for, when you're picking away, and Bedard's had, in particular, he's had a great season, but he was kind of picking away like a point here, a point there, then doing an excellent job of, finding a way to at least get a point or two. But for a lot of guys, it's, they've had opportunities, they haven't got results, and now maybe you get a little bit looser there. And they've always talked about, okay, let's get shots on goal, let's, crash the net, let's find ways to score goals. And then once we do that, it'll open up some other opportunities. Well, I think right now, as it stands, they're finding those other opportunities. So, continue to crash and continue to get shots on net. 18 shots on goal in the first period. This is where the game kind of started to get away from the Ducks, where they were outplayed, and then they came out with a decent start to the second period. They took an early lead. But the Hawks, I think, are feeling it now that they have that ability to put themselves in a position to get back into these games and try some things, some pretty plays that weren't there before on the power play. You were looking, okay, well, let's just get it to the point and let's get a shot with traffic in front of the net. Now you're seeing them have some fun. You're seeing them have some creativity in their power play. Great puck movement, as Seth Jones was talking about during one of the intermissions, about the puck movement is great. No holding on to it, making good decisions and not forcing anything. When you move the puck well, there's going to be something that's open, and they're finding those open opportunities right now. And when you have Connor Bedard and Kurashev and having that chemistry, and Tyler Johnson's done an excellent job, goals in consecutive games, and then you look at Nick Foligno, he kind of supplies the muscle in there. So everything's kind of firing on all cylinders right now, and they're starting to have some fun. It's not going to last forever. It could end on Friday night, but as it stands right now, you're feeling it now, and you can make those type of plays that you really can't make or you couldn't make and don't want to try and make when you're not creating offense and you're having trouble scoring goals.
2-0 homestand so far, and hey, who cares what happens Friday? Let's have some more fun like this we did tonight.
Do you have my keys?
Oh, that's right.
Did you take my keys away, I hope.
Yeah, it was Bandito aplenty too. Yeah, they got to cool it with these 7-goal games. We're going to run out of our Uber credit pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. I have to put it on the team account somehow. Blame it on them.
Well, it is their fault.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, pal. Fun stuff. We'll talk to you in a couple of nights.
All right. Good job, Joe. Fun night.
Fun night. Likewise. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call. After a 7-2 Blackhawks victory over the Anaheim Ducks, we're talking about it until 11 o'clock tonight. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Already see a few texts coming in. Again, 312-981-7200. We're talking about this Blackhawks win until 11 o'clock here tonight on WGN Radio.
From the right circle, Bedard from the left wing board sent it across to a wide open Philip Kurashev, and the Hawks are having some fun now. They lead 6-2.
Second goal for Philip Kurashev tonight. He had a 4-point night. Nick Foligno had a 4-point night. And if you didn't hear, Connor Bedard with a 5-point night. He becomes the second Blackhawks player in franchise history as an 18-year-old with a 5-point night. He and Eddie Olczyk, the only two to do so, and Bedard just the fifth NHLer at 18 years old to have a 5-point night. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. I'm going to go ahead and give Philip Kurashev, our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. There was enough heart to go around tonight. You could give a piece of it. If I go full-on Mean Girls tearing apart the plastic tiara as she gets prom queen, give a piece to Peter Mrazek. Give a piece to Nick Foligno, Seth Jones, Connor Bedard, Ryan Donato. Real hard-working effort tonight, showing off his speed and skill set and just kind of willing that first goal to go in on the Blackhawks power play, which looked good again tonight. Just a ton of positives to pull from this one. 312-981-7200, and got plenty of texts flowing in right now. Alex from Louisville checking in. 37th birthday tomorrow, and what a nice win to listen at the gym to celebrate. During the third period onslaught, I noticed Troy guffaw at the wave taking place. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I know the term, but I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Got to say, as a fellow old man of tomorrow, I side with Troy. No wave in hockey. What do you say? I plead the fifth. Let the fans do what they want, but I understand if you're frustrated about a wave in hockey. 331 area code. Where has this team been all year? Do you think it's the excitement of Slager coming or a sense of playing for pride at the end of the season? I think it's a lot of different factors. It's not just one thing. I don't know how much of a rise in the dressing room Landon Slaggart's arrival gave this team. They met him for the first time today, kind of. I'm sure some of the younger guys have played against him or with him or have seen him around in the past. But it is an exciting thing. Don't get me wrong. It's exciting for us covering the team to see another piece of this rebuild come into existence. It's fun for the fans to keep an eye on him for what looks to be his NHL debut will be on Friday. But keep in mind, and Troy brought this up, that's going to cost somebody's roster spot. So it's not great and fun for everyone, but it is obviously something that the team is hoping to benefit from. From the 773 area code, great game, great team win. Mrazek superb in goal. Yeah, Peter Mrazek's just been so consistent this year. It's kind of gotten to the point where we almost forget about how much he helps out this team. But showing what he can do beyond in between the pipes. stepping up for one of his teammates in Mackenzie Entwistle. I thought that was really noble, really cool, and then having no problem whatsoever when John Gibson skated on over. We almost got a goalie fight here. That would have been awesome. Really wish that would have happened, but there was not in the cards tonight, and there was plenty of fighting and roughhousing to go around. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to text. From the 309, what are all the guidelines to get the number one draft pick in the draft? We've been through this a lot, but that's fine. I have no problem clarifying this again, because actually the Hawks' win tonight and San Jose's loss puts the Hawks ahead of the San Jose Sharks in the overall standings for the draft lottery odds. Now, San Jose still has two games more to play than the Hawks. That does work in the Hawks' favor if you're looking towards that. We all know what happened last year. The Hawks didn't finish with the best odds for Connor Bedard. They still got Connor Bedard. But, and I said this on Blackhawks Live, I said this on the last postgame show, don't be surprised if the Hawks do start to gain some momentum here. They're playing some of the best hockey that they've played all year long. Connor Bedard is really figuring things out, and guys are coming back healthy. And I think that's another factor that I wanted to bring to point from the text that came in about why this team is looking so different lately. They've got almost their entire team back. I mean, now it's only missing Connor Murphy and Taylor Hall. Nick Foligno is here and healthy. Connor Bedard is here and healthy. He's been playing a lot with Filip Kurashev and Foligno, so they're able to generate some chemistry. Now Andreas Athanasiou is back in the mix, and he looks to be completely fine based on what we saw today. We are hopefully going to get some sound from the Blackhawks dressing room and Luke Richardson, but it's one of these games where there's so many good things on to talk about. We had a post-game player. We just might not have enough time for it, but I want to pull out this quote that it was actually Ben Pope at the Chicago Sun-Times that tweeted it. Hold on, let me pull it up, because it kind of speaks wonders to what Nick Foligno can say about Connor Bedard's game and how it's grown. He said, "What I really liked, and this might not get written about, but on the first 5-on-5 goal we had, he comes beneath me. I give it to him, and now they're on a 2-on-1. He's not ahead of the play. He's not trying to cheat. You can see he's understanding now his positioning as a centerman in this league, and then his natural abilities take over because of that." I don't know hockey to a T like Nick Foligno does, but I do kind of get a sense of what he's saying, because you are seeing more of the complete package from Connor Bedard these days with his skill handling, with his quick decision-making. It just comes so much more naturally now, and it does kind of seem like, because he's always in the right spot, he's always at the right position, he's always had the talent, right? It's not like that wasn't there before, but when you utilize it the right way, it makes a world of a difference. And when you pair him up with teammates that he's got some connection with, like Kurashev and Foligno right now, it is really doing wonders. And you're starting to see Filip Kurashev do Connor Bedard-like things, holding onto the puck for just a tick second more, and then firing it over, and then setting up a perfect shot for Connor Bedard to fire a one-timer. We saw that flip-flopped three times tonight. Two goals by Kurashev, one by Bedard. Each teammate feeding the other on the primary assist. It really is fun to watch that offense brew. Don't get me wrong, I know where the Hawks are in the standings. I know this is a fun, good win to talk about. But this is what it looks like when everything is working out. We've seen the other side. We've seen all the struggles, all the injuries, and how much that plays into it. And whether or not you're rooting for the Hawks to fall at the bottom of the standings once again, I do think it is more important to let these guys ruminate amongst each other, learn, grow, and win with each other, because it's important to instill those types of traits, those types of habits now at the base of the rebuild than it is just to hopefully put yourself in the best chance for another draft lottery win. And I've said before, as good as Macklin Celebrini is, there are other good draft picks after that as well. I don't know if it's quite Bedard level. Maybe other scouts and experts would disagree with that sentiment. I think he is the number one overall pick, but I think everything that's below him is some pretty top-notch talent as well. So it's not a complete loss if the Hawks were to not get the number one overall pick again this year. Hopefully we get to see what Landon Slager can do sooner rather than later. Troy brought up because the team is rolling right now. Maybe that plays into effect if he comes into the lineup or not. Not quite sure. It's just going to have to be a wait-and-see situation. We'll take more of your calls and texts. 312-981-7200. Actually, before we go to our next break, let's go to John in Elburn. That wants to talk about the game. Go ahead, John. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, Joe. Good evening.
Good evening. What do you got to say?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to say, I mean, you're spot on and almost everything you just said. It's exactly right. But you know what? Tonight, it was fun to be in the building. That's the kind of mood. That's the kind of spirit. That's the kind of cheering. Even if you want to go with the wave, it was fun to be in the building tonight.
I hear you, John. To each their own. Where were you sitting tonight?
I'm up in the 300, and we started the wave accidentally, I think. But, yeah. Yeah, we still started it. And then the 100. Once they finally got involved, then it became a real wave. But, yeah, it was a good night to be in the building. It's fun to watch them develop. It's fun to watch them play together. And you know what? No negatives tonight, just positives. And I'm looking forward to next year.
I hear you. All right. Thank you very much, John. Congratulations on starting the wave.
Yep.
I won't tell.
Good night.
All right, you too. I won't tell Troy that you started the wave. I think John's spot on. I mean, you can't. Regardless of where you are in a rebuild, you can't just be rooting for losses. And when these wins come by, it's just a lot more easier to go about business, both for the players, the coaches, us covering the team. It just makes things easier and lighter. And you get to hear more real answers from players, too, rather than just the cliche things that we got to play together as a team. I mean, you kind of go in this repetitive downward spiral when the losses keep piling up. So we are going to celebrate these wins, and we are going to pull out more positives from tonight's victory. We're taking this Blackhawks postgame show until 11 o'clock tonight, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in. Hawks beat the Ducks 7-2, 720 WGN.
Peter Mrazek has gotten involved. Gibson skates the length of the ice. Now he's going to get involved. Reese Johnson firing punches, and he takes one and goes down. Big pile now to the right of the net in behind. And the linesmen are involved in it as well. You have Zaitsev trying to poke one of the Ducks from outside the pile. Peter Mrazek being grappled there by Gibson. All happening against the
nice job by our production team and crew back at the WGN Radio Studios. That's our save of the game, sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. Not your traditional save by Peter Mrazek, but definitely deserves to get some credit for stepping in there, helping one of his teammates, Mackenzie Entwistle, and them being willing to throw off the gloves, glove and a blocker, rather, with John Gibson, the goaltender of the Anaheim Ducks. Didn't get it tonight, but maybe one night we'll get a goalie fight. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're trying to roll through as many positives as we can. We're taking this up to 11 o'clock tonight. We do have another break to get to. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or text in. Joe, it's Devin from Palos Hills. Since that article was written about Seth Jones criticizing his demeanor and his work ethic, he has 3 goals and 4 assists in 5 games. It's great to finally see him play his best hockey all season long. I think the biggest difference is the perspective of Seth Jones is so much different when he's on a team that's playing well. I think he just gets kind of thrown around as an easy target to point at of who's doing what wrong when the team is struggling. But yeah, he just quietly had 4 assists yesterday, picked up a power play goal tonight, continues to be a big factor in the team's offense. Let's see, 3 shots on goal tonight, 8 shot attempts total. He was moved out of the top, or rather both power play units at the beginning of the game, but then he was worked back into the power play. Obviously, he had the power play goal in the second period. That was a 4-on-3, but I mean, he's still doing so many solid things, and I really don't think that many of them have been different from the games that he's been criticized, but the difference is now the team is starting to win some games, there's been a lot more goals, and there really hasn't been things to be upset about, and then everyone is able to just rush to number 4 right now. So I'm happy as well that he's starting to get a little bit more credit for what he's been doing all year long. 630 area code, power play runs and goals galore. Although they're out of a playoff contention, this has been the most exciting I've seen these lines move on the ice and power play pushes I've seen all season long, and is so promising to see for next season. Keep it rolling. I mean, keep in mind, power plays are very hot and cold, no matter what team, no matter what year. But I agree, this is the type of progression you were looking for. This is the type of strides forward you wanted to see from this team. And I really think we're seeing a different level from Connor Bedard on the power play. Everything that we mentioned in that quote from Nick Foligno, and also just the extra confidence that he has, too. We got to get to another break, but we'll take more of your calls and texts next. 312-981-7200. We're talking about a Blackhawks 7-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks here on 720 WGN.
Wave going up here in the 300 section, 300 level. Roy Terry into the Hawk zone to the left circle. Guides a pass into the left wing corner for Vetrano. Vetrano now had it tipped off his stick, but tipped it right back out to the left point. Fowler. High slot to Strome, to the right circle for Zellweger, and Blackwell came along and stripped it away. Blackwell passing up the left wing glass for Anderson at center ice. This is over his stick and down into the duck zone. Now all three levels of the United Center are involved in the wave, Troy. What do you think?
No, I'm not happy. Not happy at all.
I think you need a little more Bandito.
Well, there was plenty of Bandito to be had tonight, and yes, Troy Murray continues to hate the wave. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, wrapping things up after a 7-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks, and credit to John from Melbourne for starting the wave up in the 300 level. Last few texts that we'll read. Good to hear the guys winning at the Madhouse. These wins are still needed and good for the team, even when going for a top three pick, much like last year. From the 219 area code, do you think they'll make a captain next year? Foligno would be my choice, but Seth Jones could be a great one too. I asked Kevin or Kyle Davidson that exact question when he chatted after the trade deadline, and he basically said he hasn't been thinking about who the next Blackhawks captain is just yet. I do think that'll be a group effort decision from Kyle, probably a few other guys in the front office, and of course Luke Richardson will have a big say as well. It's interesting, right? Because the moment they declared there would be no captain this year to honor what Jonathan Toews had done, and rightly so, it was pretty much led to believe that, okay, they're setting things up to make Connor Bedard the captain. But if they were to make Nick Foligno or even Seth Jones the captain, and their plan was eventually to make Connor Bedard the captain, it might make things a little hairy, right? I mean, you don't just strip the C from that player. I mean, I know Foligno's got a two-year extension, but I don't know if you wait those 2 years. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting topic, though. Until that decision is made, for sure. The Blackhawks' next game is Friday night against the LA Kings as this homestand continues with the Kings in town.
Barzal leaning in on Deneau, puck out to Dobson, but he turned it over. Good read. Empty net, Moore scores!
That's Nick Nixon of the LA Kings broadcast team, and that's our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Puck drop Friday night, 7:30, FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show at 7 o'clock. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you fuel up for Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. And Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help back at the WGN studios, our production crew of Brendan Rook, Michael DeLeonardis. They were led by our captain, the engineer, Brett Jackson. Here at the United Center, our reporter was Jack Heinrich. Our Hall of Fame engineer was Mr. Paul Zerang. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call. And for everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand. Signing off once again, Blackhawks beat the Anaheim Ducks 7-2. David Jennings has your news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. Have a great night, everybody. We will talk to you Friday from the UC.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.